Carol, do you have the bug?
She didn't bring it, so she just had to turn her ears up.
Or sit down.
Yeah.
All right. Did everyone get an outline that wanted one, that would like one? I think you've got just right. I think just see one paper left back there. I'm going to go through the book of Philippians. We usually think of the book as just being the subject of joy. There's in that book that I think relates to us as a congregation. There are some things we have in common with the church in Philippi. So that's what we're going to try to address a little bit. Well, come on up. Huh? I do have the microphone on, so just in case.
Oh, yeah, it's on.
There you go. I'll try to turn my head to the right as much as possible so you don't get sprayed. My mouth waters, but I'm talking. But there's so much that is characteristic of all congregations in this letter. It's not just joy, but we're going to find joy in different situations. Even looking ahead, in 2 weeks from tonight, the last half of chapter 1, Paul begins the section, the things that happened to me. So we're going to talk about joy in hardships, just like Brother Blackwell did in last week's video. So we look forward to that. So here's the text, Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, all the way to the end. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. God is my witness. How greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment. And he mentions four things. That you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So just with the title of the lesson, I'm giving you some definitions. I've titled the lesson, Ingredients in Fellowship. And so the word ingredients, even though you know this, but sometimes I like to look at a definition for two reasons. One, not only to secure the definition, but many times the definition makes the application. So when we speak about ingredients, that's that the substance that make up a mixture or compound. So in other words, it's all of us that make up the congregation. It's the parts, the substances, or principles that make up the whole. It's factors to be included, all of us included. When we talk about fellowship, what are all of us a part of? Fellowship. The Greek words, koinonia, denotes a partaker or a partner, attachment, relationship, communion, a group of people associated in a joint effort. We're all in this together. For a common purpose. Yeah. were comrades. And in these first 11 verses, we find these characteristics of fellowship and our togetherness in Christ Jesus. Jude verse 3 mentions, "Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation." So when we speak about fellowship, we're talking about our togetherness, our community, our family, church family. So now let's take a look. What is our fellowship consist of? In the first 11 verses, we see those ingredients. At least I do. Number one is humility. Starts with the opening phrase, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. The idea of a bondservant, one who gives himself up to the will of another. A servant means to minister, to be a deacon, not necessarily hold the office, but to be deacon, to be an attendant. So that's the way Paul looked at himself. So if you ask the question, "Paul, who are you?" Many times we might say, "Oh, Paul the apostle. He was that selected missionary. He's the author of a lot of books." But Paul, how did you see yourself? A bondservant. How do we see ourselves in the congregation? I'm a bondservant. In Ephesians 3, verse 8, Paul said, "To me who am less than the least of the saints." So you think about the least, and then Paul said, I'm lower than that. Wow. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, he says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief." Paul, who are you? How do you look at yourself? I'm a bondservant. I'm least. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, Paul is asking the question to the church there because of their division. So he said, "Who then is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed." In the word bond, it's interesting that the word bondservant and humble are identified with Jesus in the next chapter. In Philippians 2, beginning of verse 5, "Let this mind be in you," "which was also in Christ Jesus, taking the form of a bondservant." He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So how do we see ourselves in the congregation here? Bondservant. Ministers. Helping each other out. You know, when I visit someone or do something else in the congregation, I do it because I'm a member here, not because I'm the preacher. The work of the preacher, biblically, is always defined as one who delivers the message. That's the job identification, the job description of a preacher. So when I visit or we just go and have a good time together or involved in a work party, I do that because I'm a member of the congregation here. Not because I'm the preacher. The preacher preaches. That's my job. Everything else is what unifies us. You know, I've used this illustration before in our Bible classes. You know, when all through the worship assembly, I'm sitting with you and someone else is leading the prayer. I'm sitting with you when someone else is leading the singing. I'm sitting with you when we are making the offering or the communion. And then it's my turn to stand up and preach. See? So when you say, "Brian, who are you?" Just like Paul, "Who are you?" I'm a bondservant. I'm with you. Members, one of another. Number two, if we're going to have fellowship together, not only humbleness, you know, who am I to, but just because I stand up here and deliver the message. No, serve. What do you need? How can I help you? Let me get that. But number two is unity. We're together. Remember, look at your definition of fellowship at the top of the page. You know, the harmony of the Philippian assembly is reflected just in the reference to the members that are there, at least the way I see it. It is to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. So when Paul were writing a letter to us, two brothers, the saints, they're gathered together here in Imperial Beach. And he mentions you all again in verse 7 and verse 8. And then in addition to all the saints, it's with the bishops and the deacons. And I highlighted that word with in your notes. You ever say to somebody, are you with me? Meaning, we're going to do this together. Are you with me? In other words, we're going to think alike or act alike. Are you with me? And that's the way Paul describes the congregation in Philippi. All the saints and with, you're with the bishops and the deacons. And you're partakers with me. Number three is diversity. Congregation in Philippi began with a business woman named Lydia. A jailer, don't know his name. And their households. I wonder how they got along. Businesswoman and a jailer. And then as the congregation grew over the next 10 years, when Paul writes this letter back to them, now it's to all the saints and the bishops and the deacons. So now the assignment for this congregation in Philippi is to love someone who's different. Jews and Gentiles, you know, with their backgrounds. Interesting when you see those two words, grace and peace. Grace would have special meaning to the Gentile, and peace would have a special meaning to those with Jewish background. So Paul addresses grace and peace, puts them together, united. But the diversity. Just a two-line poem, I don't know the author, someone said, to love the whole world for me is not a chore. My only real problem is the guy next door. That's right. I can love the world. It's my neighbor. The same way in the congregation. Oh, I love the congregation. Oh, but look who's sitting in front of me. Or beside me. Uh-oh. So I put in your nose, you know, kind of look around. Don't point. But look at all the diversity. All the diversity. You know, unity does not mean uniformity. We don't, for us to have unity, we don't all have to dress alike. For us to have unity, we don't all have to enjoy the same foods. Oh. We would probably divide over certain foods. Oh, you like that? Oh, I don't like that. We would have the blue cheese, Church of Christ. I would not attend there. You know, if unity meant uniformity, we'd all be married. So we think, oh no. Or we'd all be single. Oh no. But you see the diversity. We can't have uniformity because of our likes and dislikes. But we have to get along, don't we? So when we think about what's unique about our fellowship, this point number three is the diversity that's here. And God's principle for the church is diversity with unity. And we're united by grace and fellowship. Put in your note, Judson Edwards. That if everybody was just like me, the world would sure be a better place to be. There would be no murder, because I'm not violent. Be no stealing, because I'm not a thief. No adultery, I'm happily wed. No atheism, for I believe in God. No ignorance, for I've been to school. If only the world was more like me, surely it would be a better place to be. Or would it? If everybody was just like me, there would be no merry-go-rounds, for I get dizzy. There'd be no clowns, I'm self-conscious. No doctors, I hate blood. No painters, I'm colorblind. No mechanics, I can't fix anything. No elevator operators. That must be an old one. For I'm claustrophobic. No home run kings, because I can't hit a curveball. No balloon riders, for I'm afraid of heights. You see the diversity? If everybody were just like me, look at the things that we'd miss out on. Because I have my likes and my dislikes. Diversity. And that's what makes up the congregation here. Number four is heartfelt thanks for one another. Need this. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Oh, God, someday just get your directory out and just kind of turn the pages. You know. Start with Anderson. I thank my God for Christine. Then turn the page. But you go through the directory. I thank my God for this person. That's what's going to make our fellowship an occasion of joy when we do that. In verse 7, I have you in my heart. Everybody. All those from the front pew to the back, I have you in my heart. In verse 8, how greatly I long for you you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. In verses 3 through 8, Paul uses the pronoun you 7 times. And if we're going to enjoy our fellowship together as a congregation, we need to think of others who are sitting beside us, or front or behind us. You. Gratitude seems like pervades all of Paul's letters. You know, I have them on my list. I put them in your notes. Yeah, sure did. Philippians 1 verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine, making a request for you with all joy. In my prayers to the Ephesians. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you. Ephesians 1 15. I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Colossians 1, 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, I thank God as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Wow. So you think, what's characteristic of our fellowship? Gratitude, heartfelt thanks for one another. That's what's bringing joy to our fellowship. Number 5 is stability. I didn't put the definition in your notes, but I have it in mind. Think of stability. And this is what we want to characterize the congregation here. We want you to survive for the long term. We want brethren to be stable, have endurance, to abide. Abide. To stay. To continue. To last. Whatever word you can think of. We want to instill this in the life of the members here. To have that attitude of I'm not bailing out. I'm not going to leave. In verse 5, your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. 10 years. Philippi, the church in Philippi endured. In verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. The long run. What the faith that was begun in us, we want to finish our faith. Last. And then the last phrase is, until the day of Jesus Christ. So let's stay faithful and endure and hang in there all the way to the end. That will make joy in our fellowship. That stability. In verse 27, chapter 1, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. Oh, yeah. So what does fellowship mean? It means we're going to last together. Walk hand in hand. In chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, you've always obeyed. That should be the characteristic of the congregation. We want all of us to always obey. not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence? Because he's writing from Rome. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. So stay with us. You know, as a congregation, we want to be a people who abide and fulfill our ministry, and that means we will enjoy our fellowship. Number six, let me continue here. Let love abound. Verse 9, again, this is his prayer. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. When I think about definition of love, I just really simplify it. It's one seeking the best for another, using right words and actions. In other words, I want the best for you. Let love continue, abound. And then when he mentions abound still more and more, do you know what we're doing right now? Keep doing it. Don't stop. I want your love that we have for each other, for our friendship and fellowship, to abound. Keep doing what you're doing. And do more. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, one of my favorite verses, Hebrew writer says, "Beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you." Confident of better things. Yes, things that accompany salvation. That's the phrase. Things that accompany salvation. And the Hebrew writer lists them. "Though we speak in this manner, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown in his name." Your work and labor of love. "In that you've ministered to the saints and do minister." Well, that's let love abound more and more in our text. "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." That's right. "That you do not become sluggish. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Yeah. Number seven is the last one. There's four things listed here. And I just titled under the heading, Make the Right Choices. You know, as a congregation, if we're going to enjoy fellowship, make the right choices. So verse 10 is the first one. "That you may approve the things that are excellent." Meaning, test the things that differ. You know, I have a choice. Test. Select the good. Choose the better. Yep. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, "Prove all things," or test all things, "and then hold fast to that which is good." We want to make the right choices by making sure we've tested that which is right, and we know that's the good way. Romans 12, verse 2, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Prove that coming to worship is valuable. Prove that Bible study is beneficial. Prove those things when you have a choice of whether you attend or not. Prove that this is the right place to be. Second, if we're going to have a good fellowship and a joyous fellowship, be sincere and without offense. Paul wanted the Christians, or the Christians in Philippi, he wanted their faith to be genuine. Be sincere. And without offense. So I put in your notes, don't live in such a way that causes another to stumble. Don't give someone reason to doubt your faith. So make the right choices. Prove what is good, and then do it. Be sincere in that. Then also in verse 11, there's two things. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. I remember when I was in grade school, I don't do this anymore, at least I don't think. I don't have small kids in grade school. But they had the report card had a category called deportment. We don't use that word very much anymore. Deportment. My parents were always attentive to that mark on my card, as much as they were the academic grades too. But that grade on deportment told my parents whether I was behaving myself in class. Oh, did you get good grades? Yeah, oh, but I didn't behave very well. Well, no, that's the illustration. I knew somebody that did. Deportment. It means to act in a specified manner. Deportment is your conduct, your attitude in action. Oh, yeah, so let's love the brethren, but now how are we going to love? You know, grudgingly? I hope not. You know, when our boys, three boys, were in competition in the band, and with bagpipe bands, they were the drum major for the bands, and there was a separate competition just for the drum majors. And there was a section on the evaluation card when they competed against each other on march and deportment. So they were graded according to the specific rules of marching. But then that word deportment, that was their attitude. Or what did their marching look like? And so Paul, in this text, he wanted the brethren Philippi to get high marks on deportment, attitude. And that would result in fruits of righteousness, that which is good. Then you have the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, verse 22. If we have right deportment, then we'll have a spirit of love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's not a law to say, hey, don't behave correctly. No law that I know of like that is you can't act right. No. The last one, verse 11, to the glory and praise of God. So even in our fellowship, in looking around at one another and how we can help and enjoy the time that we spend together, there's also an occasion to look up. Look up. Glory of God. Our fellowship is not just about getting something from God. It's giving to God glory and praise in our service and in our relationship to one another, in the way that we behave ourselves, not only in the congregation, but in our fellowship together. So that's what we need to do. So may God help us to establish these traits in the congregation. We said next week we'll finish this chapter. And it begins in verse 12. Paul from prison says, these things happened to me. And then he begins a short list. So we'll look at some of the things, not only in the text itself, but maybe review a little bit of last week's video, and I'll add some more to it, Lord willing. These things happened to me. So how will we respond? That's next week, 2 weeks tonight, Lord willing. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. There is one here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church. You had that opportunity to obey the gospel. Simply hear that good news message, which you have. And God so loved the world. Believe it. And then repent. Turn your life toward God. And then confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in newness of life. If you want to ask brethren while we're here, gathered here together, to offer prayer on your behalf for something in your life, a decision or forgiveness or plans, we can certainly honor that request too. So let's stand together. Dennis will make his way to the front. We'll sing this song of encouragement, song of invitation. If that's your desire, your resolve, simply come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this song. Let it be known.